Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. Now he created us for, blessed be the glory of the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord God, even for bringing us together in fellowship. Lord, as we read the word of God this morning, Lord, we pray that you give us, the Holy Ghost give us inspiration and, understanding that the word of God will be mixed with faith in our hearts, Lord, that you come profitable for us in the days to come. Lord, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to read from John chapter 15, the 11th verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So if I might take a text from that particular verse, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Joy is the best advertisement to a world that has an abundance of sorrow and woes. See? In 1 Peter, talking of the Christian, 1 Peter 1:8, talking about the Lord Jesus here, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He told Thomas, do you not believe because you have seen me and see my hand and the nails of my hand and my leg? Blessed are they who have not seen, who believe, Anyway, full of joy, even today, no matter what the trials are and the temptations are, so full of joy. Now, the cause of a cheerful countenance is a merry heart. We are living in a terrible world of depression all over the place. That shouldn't be the lot of God's children. So the cause of a cheerful countenance is a merry heart. The wisest man of his own time, by divine inspiration, by the name of Solomon, in Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart dreads good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dreads the bone. Oh man, even a merry heart, just being merry and so forth, dreads good like medicine, bad medicine maybe. Proverbs 15:15. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Oh, value of a merry heart, right? Plenty of them in the Bible and so forth. Dress you like medicine. Shake yourself off. Daughter of Zion. Be merry in the Lord and so forth. And you can have a continual feast. Remember, each day of your life, there are many reasons to praise the Lord and be joyful. Many, many of them. You can smile at the day, saying, as in Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice, or we will rejoice and be glad in it. You can thank the Lord for how he has chosen to make you. How did he do it? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That alone is worthy of praise. Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Or you can just obey the abundance of scriptures with command to sing, commanding you to sing, shout and rejoice. Look at some of them. Zephaniah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Psalm 5:11. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. See the source of your joy now, by trusting the Lord, right? Let them ever shout for joy, rain or shine, right? Ever shout for joy, because thou defended them. This is our defense, right? Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee, the joy of the Lord. Psalm 32 verse 11. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Many scripture in there. I think I'll just go off all from here. When the word becomes, the word of God becomes more real to you and I than any word that any man can ever say or spoken, your lips will be filled with laughter, your heart will be filled with joy, and you will have a victorious Christian life. See, the word of the Lord becomes so real to you, more than what anybody says, and so on that, you know. After all, the Lord said, let every man's word be a lie, right? Let my word be true, the Bible says. As a Christian, you are only as strong as you are filled with the joy of the Lord. See? You are only as strong as you are filled with the joy of the Lord. The reason is told us in Nehemiah 8:10, which I will talk about later. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Talk about the joy of the Lord, your strength. When God's people complain of lacking strength, oh, I lack strength, I lack this, I lack that, their real lack is the joy of the Lord. Look at the Israelites. They returned from Babylon to rebuild Jerusalem and the walls thereof. Nehemiah found out something. What was it? Many of them were mourning. Many of them were weeping. Even the day when God's word was read to them, mourning and weeping. Some were suffering with diseases and so forth. Others were weak. And malnourished and things like that, you know, because Jeremiah and so on, that, you know, not a few were downcast. They were seen to be defeated and despondent. And then Nehemiah now asked the Lord, I mean God's help for his people. God gave him that verse I read to you before in verses 8-9 of Nehemiah 8-9. This day is holy unto the Lord. You can take each day to yourself like that, your God. Mourn not, nor weep. Verse 10 says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So you want to keep that joy of the Lord, as it's your real strength, you know. Real strength comes from the joy of the Lord. So God's answer for Israel in the day of Nehemiah was that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Are you a child of God? It is God's answer to you and I today. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Don't lose it now. Keep it by faith, you know, like any other thing that God has given unto you, you know. So, the joy of the Lord is not just a side product of our Christian work. It is both the strength that keeps you and I living boldly for God, and the result of moving boldly in his name. This joy of the Lord is within us all the time, you and I. It's always there. Only if we are willing to receive it and walk in it. John 15:11. This thing which I read before the beginning of the service, this thing have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. The very joy, not the joy of the world, the joy of the Lord may remain in you. See? And that your joy may be full. In John 17:13, he says again, these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy, the joy of the Lord, fulfilled in themselves. The Lord said, so our Lord Jesus Christ is the joy of living. He brought to the world a life of joy. Even on the night of his birth, the angelic host and so forth, they make this announcement. Well, it's not Christmas time now. I mean, we are in April. If Christmas is going to be the celebration of Christ, then the Christian has Christmas every day, right? We celebrate Jesus every day. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to read what the angels say at the birth of Christ in Luke 10 and 11. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people will receive him. Anyway. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Anyway, so we celebrate him every day the Christian does. In him we live and move and have our being with all our all in all to rot and soul. So wherever our Lord Jesus Christ went, during his earthly work, he brought joy to the sorrowing He brought cheer to the downcast and gladness to those who were sitting in the shadows of death. Even to the Christian, in John 16, the last verse, I believe it is, in the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, he said in that verse, the last verse of John 16, I believe it is. Now, so talking about everywhere he went, we sing a thing a little bit. Everywhere he went, he was doing good, right? Let me see some of them and so on. In Matthew 15:30, and great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to walk, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Everywhere he went, he brought joy. He brought gladness and some of that, to the sick of the palsy. In Luke chapter 2, the Lord said, verse 11, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately, the Bible says, he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Everywhere he went, see? And even the raising of the son, the dead son of the widow of Nain, in Luke chapter 7, verse 14, and he came and touched the bier in the dead boy and so on. And they that bear him stopped still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. And that God has visited his people. They didn't know him. He was the God of the prophet, more than a prophet, see, is here. At one time, the queen of the south came to see the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, greater than Solomon is in this place, he said, he is the God of the prophets, We come to that later too. So anyway, one aim of the Lord's heavenly ministry was to restore joy to the human heart, which had been languishing in the shackles of sin and sadness, we as children, we rejoice with joy unspeakable like I read before, and full of glory. Why? Our Lord Jesus Christ is our reason for rejoicing. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is the reason for our rejoicing. And more than that, he is our source of joy. There are many ways you can preach the joy of the Lord, just this way that he led me this morning, just doing this way. And also, many in the 17th and 18th century, and so I know some of them here. An author was asked the following question. He asked him, where is happiness? And here is what the author answered. I want to read them. I will probably put some things here that I've added to it myself. Now, is happiness in unbelief or this unbeliever? Is that where the happiness is? There was a man called Voltaire, was his name. He was one of the greatest of all French writers of the 17th and 18th centuries. Famous for his wit and his criticism of Christianity. He was described as an infidel of the most pronounced type. Okay, what he said? So is happiness in being an unbelief? And it is? No. Here what he said. He wrote, the worm, the canker, the grief, am I alone? So what did he get for me? I'm easy there. Nothing. That is his own writing. He said the worm, the canker, the grief, am I alone? So that's no, no, so that's no, that's a different one. Anyway, so, So, happiness is not being an atheist, not being an unbelief and so forth. So, here is what he wrote. This man, an infidel of the most pronounced type, he wrote, I wish I had never been born. That is his word. He said, I wish I had never been born. So what is your atheist life mean and so on, unbelief and so on. So happiness was not being an atheist life. It wasn't there. Now, another person. Is happiness in pleasure? No. There is one man called Lord Byron. He lived in 18th and 19th centuries. He was a British romantic poet and satirist whose poetry and personality capture the imagination of Europe. He lived a life of pleasure. They said, if anybody did that, or if anyone did, this man did. That's what he wrote. He said, the worm, the canker, the grief, am I alone? So, happiness wasn't in pleasure, you know, at all. Look at what he said, the worm, the canker, the grief, am I alone? Now, another one. Is happiness in money? There is another one. His name was Jay Gould. An American railroad magnate and financial speculator. His sharp and often unscrupulous business practices made him one of the wealthiest men of the late 19th century. And he was an American multimillionaire, had plenty of money. When dying, hear what he said, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth. In his very word. So, we find out, even happiness is not even in money. I want to comment on that one. I think, by the time he died, I think he said he had about 77 million when he died. So, let me talk, as far as the Christian is concerned, I want to comment on that one. This man's struggle was this. He was like the rich man, or the rich fool, of which the Lord told the parable in Luke 12. He was not rich toward God. In Luke 12:21, the Lord said, so you know that rich fool? Oh, you know, the Bible says, his grant brought forth plentifully, right? Oh, what am I going to do with all this plentifulness of myself? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my barn and build a bigger wall and store them there. I cannot say, oh my soul, just take your peace now and pay at peace and so forth, you know? And the Lord said, you know, oh fool, tonight, your soul is required of you. Who will those say that you are sort of beat for and so that you know? That's what happened to this man here. You know, so it was, I mean, 77 million, in late 1970, how much is, I mean, we talk of a billionaire today, right? So it wasn't in money, happiness wasn't in money, right? For God's children, God prospered, and he does prosper, and we prosper his children. And when he does, they must continue not only to be rich toward him, but even richer towards him. In 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, even put above all things there, you know, and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Psalm 112, contrasting to that man, he was because he wasn't rich towards God, right? I'm saying God wants to prosper his children and so on. That in Psalm 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly, you see that one, in his commandments. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Ecclesiastes 5:19, every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth. You see, that's what God gave. You know, I wish above all things, right? And that may prosper, you know, I be in health. and has given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. In Job 22:24, then shall thou lay up gold as the dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. 26 verse says, now, you see the shadow of God, doesn't be that man, you know, for then shall thou delight, have delight in the Almighty. That is the true shadow of God, right? And that shall the Lord. Even no matter how God has blessed him, then even he will love the Lord more. For then shall thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. And in 1 Timothy 6:17, he warned the Christian, when God has blessed you and so that you know, be careful now. God has blessed you and so that you know, charge them that are rich in this world. Now they be not high-minded. Don't do that. Not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Look at this way. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, he said. I want to put that one there because, you know, so that we don't just end up with things like that. He was in the way he was, because he was rich, he wasn't rich towards God. I want to say that God wants to bless his people and some of that, you know. Let's go on now. So his happiness there, so it wasn't the money, right? Essentially, a child of God, you know, something like that, you know. Even then, the Lord will see your joy. Anyway, his happiness in position and fame. Here was what this man said. His name was Lord Beaconsfield, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1874 to 1880. This man enjoyed more than his share of position and fame. I'm quoting them now. Here is what he wrote. Youth is a mistake. Manhood is struggle. Old age, a regret. So, happiness wasn't in position or in faith. So, I mean, he was famous and had a big position. And he said, youth is a mistake. Manhood is struggle. Old age, a regret. So, happiness wasn't in all those good things he said. Another one. His happiness in military glory, the last one I want to quote here is this. We all know about him, even in the Bible and so on. Alexander the Great conquered the known world of his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, there are no more wars to conquer. Okay? And we know what happened to him and so on, as he's 3 years old, right? Drunken, orgy, and causing himself and all that, you know. So, what is any of those things? So, where then is happiness and joy found? We all know by now, the answer is simple. In Christ alone and Christ alone, shall you have joy and happiness and so forth. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 16:22, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. See? He gave us joy. Joy unspeakable. Not only shall we have it in heaven, meaning this joy, but right here, in this present world, we have abounding joy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength and my strength. Well, do we sometimes lose this joy? Yeah. Christians. You have your up and down, I have my and so on, that you know. Should it really be like that? So many things can account for a Christian losing his joy. Usually it will be by a broken fellowship with the Lord. Or we don't pay attention to the word of God. It could even be a definite act of sin, which is unconfessed, right? Many things that can make a Christian to lose his joy. Or a careless drifting from the Lord. Or doubting God's promises, you know. Maybe you are asking something from the Lord. He has to give it to you in your own timing. If you're not careful, you know, you can lose your joy, you know. So that's where. So many things can account for a Christian losing his joy. You have to be very careful, right? And while losing our joy is a tragedy, there is a great assurance in the Bible that it can be found again. I take one of the most popular Old Testament scriptures how God can restore the joy of one that lost it, even when he has committed a great sin. We all know the story of David in the Bible and so forth. When David was convicted of his sin, that prophet Nathan and so on, gave him a parable there. You know the story of David and so on, Bathsheba and all that thing and so on. Then David cried in Psalm 51 verse 2. I think you can find that joy again, no matter what has happened to you as a child of God. You don't have to keep in unjoyfulness. Even David, no matter dreadful sin that he committed, you know about it. And not only did he committed adultery and so forth, he will kill the husband of the woman that, sent him to the other part of the battle and so on. Psalm 51 verse 2. Wash me thoroughly for my iniquity and cleanse me for my sin. And God answered him. And after that, he prayed in verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And the joy of the Lord was restored to him. We are saying that you don't have to keep him, no matter what happens, that you don't feel that joy, you don't have to be like that. Just call upon the name of the Lord. Where for the Christian, like I said before, the joy of the Lord will be as a result of broken fellowship with the Lord. And he or she should go before the Lord, searching his own heart. If you think you're not joyful as you should be, search your heart. Make sure everything is right. And confess everything to him. Remembering that we have the Lord's assurance that he will forgive. That's what West 1 John chapter 1 is all about, verse 4. And this thing write we unto you, that you may that your joy may be full. That's John 1:4, I believe it is. And this thing write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 6. If you say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if you break fellowship with the law, that can cause your joy not to be, that can cause you to lose your joy, right? Anyway, so do not the truth. Verse 7. But if you walk in the light, as it is in the light, walking in the light, meaning loving your sister and your brother in the Lord. Anyway, so that's the summary of walking in the light. We have fellowship one with another, you see that one? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Always searching your heart. Make sure everything is right with the Lord. And so, don't have a broken fellowship. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you have done all that, you can just ask the Lord. He will restore the joy of your salvation, like David did and some of that, so we have to be watchful and so forth, so not to break fellowship with the Lord for whatever reason, for any reason at all and some of that, We are living in a day where depression runs rampant. That's the word of today right now. It is very important that we keep the joy of the Lord. By a bold, joy-filled life, we can be of greater service to the Lord or to others, in addition to the personal profit we gain from it. Just having a joy-filled life, right? Be a service to others in our witnessing and so forth, A joy-filled life is the best advertisement for the gospel, How can you give what you don't have to other people, right? So even in our witnessing to people, a joy-filled life is the best advertisement for the gospel. After the joy-filled life is contagious. That's right. And the other way too, those people who are moody and so on, if you go somewhere, you are going to contagious too, It is very attractive in this world of sorrow, meaning being filled of joy of the Lord, right? This sort of sorrow and disappointment and heartbreaking, very, very important to keep the joy of the Lord, and you can bring that joy to other people and so on that, Psalm 118 verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So what it is now, you can look at each day. The Lord made this day, right? And it's new. This day is new, right? For you and me. And we know that whatever the Lord makes is always very good. At least, in the beginning of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says this about the Lord. And God saw everything that he made. And behold, it was very good, he says. And then you can look at each day. See, the Lord made it. It is a day for joyful, good living for you and I as a child of God. You know, not ill living. No. No. Because God made it for you and I and so on. The Lord made the day. And he expects you and I to rejoice and be glad in it. And we are commanded in Psalm 102. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, no matter what it is. Serve the Lord with gladness. Daily. Make the confession. I mean daily. That the Lord has made this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I just propose in your heart. You know those three Hebrew children and Daniel? They propose in their heart, right? You know, in Babylon and so what they want to do and so on. And they follow through with it. So the same thing we take like that and so forth. You'll be determined to be joyful, right? I will rejoice. I don't care what happened yesterday. You know. And in Psalm 56 verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. See? God is, David said, I'm very, very sure. God is for me. Are you sure God is for you? Yes, God is for you. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God dwelleth in you and so forth. God is for you, brother and sister. So, with God for you, and God for me, God within you, and God within me, there's absolutely no room for gloom. No, unless we allow it. No room for gloom, because it dwells in you, right? There should be no room for gloom at all. God isn't a God of gloom, no. Not a gloomy God, no. And he doesn't want gloomy children. He doesn't want that. We are commanded in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. But the child of God gives place to the devil, the child of God gives place to gloom in his life or her life, you are given place to the devil. When you let gloom ruin your life, rule your day, you are directly or indirectly giving place to the devil. Why? Satan is the author of gloom. See? So don't let gloom rule your day and so on, you know, because then you are indirectly giving place to the devil against the commandments of the Lord. With so many of God's children in low spirits, in this last day, discouragement will come. Everybody faces discouragement one way or the other throughout the whole Bible. It is like that. No, I don't see a child of God in the Bible that faces discouragement. You see David? David said he encouraged himself in the Lord, right? Are you going to ask Job, you know, discouragement? And many of them, I don't see anyone in the Bible. So discouragement, we all face it. But don't let it run you down. So don't let it run you down. So put yourself together in the Lord. About the word of God and so on, you know. So with so many people, even God's children with low spirit and some are even depressed and disgusted with life and so on. You can lift yourself outside of the doldrums by making no more room for gloom. Just propose in your heart. Don't make no room for gloom. But following the words commanded us in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say rejoice. Talking about the joy of the Lord, right? Always, it says, you know, this is the person writing from prison, right? Oh, you think about, taking about discouragement. Go and ask Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 11. It's full of the right? You know, writing from prison. Maybe, cold in the dungeon. Many of these people are living in prison, you know. Yet he say, rejoice in the Lord always. Whether I'm in prison, shackled and so forth. Oh, Paul, that almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Oh, I wish you'd be a Christian, except for this my bond, he said, you know. Agrippa, all of those kings and so on. God already told him, going to be my witness before kings and so on. He was before the kings and so on, that, you know. Except for this my chain. You know, I wish you'd be a Christian. You know, anyway, so you see. So and he was trying to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Now, life has much, this world we are living in now, this evil world, has more to dampen the spirit of anybody. Even Christians are not very careful. We are living in a world that will dampen your spirit, if as a Christian, if you give room to it and something else, you know. But brother and sister, you can't. At any time, even right now, walk out of your slough of despondency. Anytime it starts to bring that to you, you can walk out of it by the grace of God. You can, by the grace of God, put a sudden stop to sulking or gloom. Live by God's word. The Lord told us in Matthew 4, for another reason why the Christian may even lose his joy, is, like I said before, you're not feeding on God's word. Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. To keep your joy, feed upon the word of God. Any situation, so there's nothing confronted in this world that you won't find an answer in the word of God. Jeremiah found it out. You know, Jeremiah, you know, you suffer many things because of the truth and some of that, you know. Put in a dungeon, almost full of water. But God spared his life. Hear what he said by the word of God, Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found. See? I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy. See the joy of the Lord, the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called. You know who he was? You know who he was? For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You are a child of God, right? See? So you see? So be careful when you're not feeling happy. Get the scripture. Get the word of God concerning your situation. And see that joy will not return. Praise the Lord. Refuse to sink to the level of a pessimistic crowd of this last day. Don't fault me. Quit wearing that long face. No matter what is happening to you, as much as you can, quit wearing that long face. Your Lord, Jesus Christ, is alive. Revelation 1:18. I'm he that liveth and was dead, he said. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And he said, amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death, the Lord said. Then in John 4:19, he tell you and I, because I live, you shall live also. See? You know? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the past, present, and the future. Reason to be joyful, right? Many, many reasons to be joyful and so the joy of the Lord. He said in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega. I say it was the past, present, and the future, right? See, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is past, which was, I'm sorry, the present, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That was what I meant by saying the past, present, and the future. And verse 11 says, Revelation 1, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 22 verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Of course, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, he said, yesterday, today, and forever. So he said, because I live, you can live also. That's what he says to you and I. So anyway, this will be joyful. So I challenge every one of us to be a sparkling, bold, joyful person. Praising the Lord often will keep that joy in your heart. You know? Count your blessings at bedtime, and you will be amazed at all the Lord has done for you. It is very easy to focus on the present distress, on what you are confronting, and forgetting all that he has done for you before. Oh, David knew where? In Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my God, and forget not all his benefits. Anyway, so we see right there. So count your blessing every night. You know. Then you can joyfully say with David again in Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, I believe. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show for thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. See? It will keep your joy, the joy for the Lord and so on. Now, I said this one here many Sundays ago. Quickly run over it and so forth. How to keep your joy. There are 2 days in every week about which we should not worry. 2 days which should be kept free from fear and apprehension. I just feel like repeating it this morning and so on to keep the joy of the Lord. One of these days is yesterday, which is mistakes and cares. All these things, if you keep them in your heart, they will see your joy, right? It's faults and blunders. It's aches and pains. Yesterday has passed forever beyond our control. All the money in the world cannot bring back yesterday. You cannot undo a single act we performed. You cannot erase a single word we said yesterday. Yesterday is gone. The other day we should not worry about is tomorrow, which is possible adversary. It's burdens, it's large promise and poor performance. Tomorrow is also beyond our immediate control. Tomorrow's sun will rise, either in splendor or behind a mask of clouds. But it will rise anyway. Until it does, meaning tomorrow, we have no stake in tomorrow whatsoever, for it is yet unborn. This leaves only one day, meaning today. And any man can fight the battles of just one day, I believe. It is only when you and I add the burdens of those two awful eternities, meaning yesterday and tomorrow, that we break down, losing that joy if you're not careful. It is not the experience of today that drives men mad, really, most of the time. It is a remorse of the bitterness for something which happened yesterday and the dread of what tomorrow will bring. Look at it. And it is hard not to believe. This is me talking now. It is hard not to believe that the author of this thing I just read to you had read the words of him of whom it was said, never man speak like this man. See? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? What did he say in John 7:46? Never man speak like this man. And who succinctly, all that I read to you in Bible yesterday and so on, canceled his people, saying in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Praise the Lord. Narrow is that today and so on. Even that today, commit it unto the Lord. You see, praise God. Of ourselves, we can really do nothing. John 15 says so, but by him we can do all things. Let's move on now. See, the joy of the Lord. Our follow is a personal message. I'm going to be closing right now. And for it's a personal message from him to every one of us here this morning. And coming out of his word, not my word. Isaiah 41, take note of it now. Personal message from him to all of us this morning. Isaiah 41 says, what's your fear today? What's your fear right now? Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea. I will help thee. God talking to you right now. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Verse 13 says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, sir, I will help you. Whatever your body is this morning, we are comforted with, God is saying, I will help you out of it. Very present help in trouble. It says in the book of, David says to him, in Psalm 91, I believe it is. How can you be down when God is holding you up, like he said in verse 13 of Isaiah 41, no more room for joyless dismal living at all. He is our God. He has promised you, and what he has promised, he is able to deliver and so that Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is my salvation. Now, don't forget, brother and sister, this world has entered the beginning of sorrows. Luke 21 verse 11, I want to close with this scripture here. We are living at the time of the coming of the Lord. I want to just end up with a little prophetic thing here and so that you know the joy of the Lord and so on. 21:11 will do, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and circumcised, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. And they distress now, we are living at the time of the coming of the Lord. With perplexity, the sea and the waves running. Not too many weeks ago, great earthquake in Turkey. 50-something thousand people perished. That has come and gone now. They forgot it at the signs of the times, right? You know? So in Matthew 24, verse 8, it says, and all this are the beginning of sorrow. So we have heard of earthquakes, wars and rumors of war. And we are living right now. The celestial signs are prophesying. What do I mean? Just about a week or so ago, the first hybrid solar eclipse in a decade took place. Let me read it to you. At 9:16 p.m. Eastern time on April 19th or April 20th, the capital of the world, there is a rare hybrid solar eclipse that swept over the South Pacific with the moon shadow passing over Western Australia, East Timor, and Indonesia. A hybrid solar eclipse changes from total solar eclipse to annular or ring shape as the moon shadow moves across the surface of the earth. So the last hybrid solar eclipse happened back in 2013. That's like 10 years ago, right? Call it hybrid solar eclipse. You know? And the next one will be in 2031. Yes. Only 7 of this type of eclipses will occur in the entire 21st century. What is science? Science in the heavens, right? The celestial science are prophesying. You don't think this will be there, right? And the idea, let me talk a little bit. The next solar eclipse, not the hybrid one now, will be an annular or ring of fire solar eclipse in October 14th this year. October 14th is coming, you know. Next solar eclipse and so on that, you know. And will be visible across North America, Central America, and most of South America. Now, more about eclipses. There are 4 types of solar eclipses, depending on the how the sun, the moon, and the earth are aligned at the time of the event. A solar eclipse always occurs about 2 weeks before or after a lunar eclipse. Now let's talk about the eclipse, just to discuss with you what type of eclipses we have. You have a total solar eclipse. What is that? This is fully obscured by the moon, where the moon stands between the earth and the sun. So that's a total eclipse. So we have that one. You have a partial solar eclipse. In that case, the moon doesn't fully block the sun, so only a portion of the sun is obscured. Here, the moon appears to take like a bite out of the sun, you know, when it happens and so on. Then you have what you call annular solar eclipse. In this case, the moon is centered in directly in front of the sun. And because it's smaller than the sun, there is a ring of fire Along the moon as well as you know, you see all the time as well, that is so we see it all the time. Anyway, so now this one that is called last week is called the hybrid solar eclipse. It is the rarest solar eclipse ever can occur. And it's a combination of a total and a lunar eclipse, sometimes known as the YAT eclipse and so on. And it's produced when the moon's shadow moves across the earth. This begins as one type of eclipse and transitions to another. So what am I talking about? The Lord said this thing will be and so forth. That is this in the pyramid. You know, we don't know what it really means until the time has passed. The last date in the great pyramid, the Bible in stone. September 17, I believe it is, 2001. You know, what happened there? 9/11 occurred. that year and so on. So the last day is the great pyramid, you know. Until that time, we don't know what it meant, you know. So this eclipse will come and go. But we know that the sign of the end of time. In all of 21st century, there's only 10 of them. And then the next one won't be until, I believe it's 2031, you know. So watch and see, because the coming of the Lord right now, Luke 21:38, to finish now. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head for your redemption dress now. That is the reason. They come and go, eclipses and so, they come and go, but Bible has told us what this means. They are in connection one way or the other to the coming of the Lord. So that scripture here this morning, Isaiah 51 verse 11, no matter what sorrow this earth is facing, beginning of sorrows and so forth, that you know, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, for making us to live in this dispensation, in this age, Lord. Thank you for giving us the signpost of the soon coming of the Lord. How to keep the joy of the Lord. Meditate upon the word of God. Like Jeremiah found out, that what was found, I did it then. That word is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Send his word and he healed them. Lord, we want to thank you this morning. We worship you. Help us to keep the joy of the Lord in this world. There's nothing good for them. Bible says what they are even seeing now, and they are thinking something has happened. It's just the beginning of sorrow. When we think that in the immediate future, at any hour, the man of sin can arise, that we seek the liberty from all the human race, you know, except those who are translated, when they control all the commerce of the world. And even Joseph, which will arise on the scene, is working underneath now. When they say peace and safety, something destruction will come upon them. And this is the thing the Lord is warning his people again, that will be accounted the warning to escape all these things and so forth. Causing anarchy in the whole world. The sea and the waste running, the people and the government and economic and politics and so forth. But to manipulate all these things, Daniel 8:25 says will cause crowd to prosper. This prosperity will come at the expense of human liberty in this generation. I would say, so watch and pray. Escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And we thank the Lord because that's the way of escape. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The secret cast away of his church can occur anytime. As he said, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch therefore and pray always that you will be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And the spirit and the bride, they come. Whosoever will, let them come and drink of the water of life freely. So we thank you this morning for our fellowship with you and the word and in the word of God. As we go this morning, Father, and we pray that the Holy Ghost will expand this things in our heart. The joy of the Lord belong unto us. We do not have to carry the sorrow of this world. The Bible says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That was my grief that he carried. That was my sorrow he carried, and yours and mine. And he has delivered all. That my joy may remain in you. So, Lord, help us to keep the joy of the Lord. And we thank you for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's coming back again.